Good morning. 10:11 a.m. on January the 25th, 2014. I'm a little out of breath. Probably because I am a little out of breath. The first mile was incredibly treacherous. I twisted my leg. My knee is complaining. I stepped on a piece of ice, on a stretch of ice, and came down funny. 17:17 on the first mile, in spite of that. But yeah, in the shadows, there's ice. Yesterday got warm enough, apparently, in the afternoon that stuff melted in good shape, so there's puddles. But then this morning it was 12 degrees. So clearly, overnight, stuff refroze. There's a lot of running water right at the moment, so that's a sign it's melting. And it's 42, so it should be melting. There's still an incredible amount of ice, particularly where the sun isn't shining directly. And being mid-morning, there's a lot of places where the sun is not yet shining directly. So I heard from my editor for South Coast. It's coming along. I'm hoping to get some actual corrections back so I can see whether or not this is going to work. It hasn't been that long, so I have to be a little bit patient. I have not heard back from the person who has owner's share, and I have to check to make sure I'm using the right email address, I guess. I'll resort to Facebook. I spent a lot of time yesterday working on edits for Half Share. And of course, 10:15, the daughter who's supposed to be in rehearsal until 11:30 calls to tell me, "Oh, we're done, we got done early." And I'm about a mile from the house. So she's gonna have to wait till I get home. I'm gonna see if I can't shorten the path a little bit. There's a cutoff here. I don't have to go all the way down and all the way around. There'll be no monk pole today. So this is what my day has been like today so far. It's been taxi, chores, taxi. I get back, I'm gonna have to do more chores because the kitchen's a shambles. I gotta do something for dinner. I've been to the grocery store today, so that's something. But yeah, it should have been a 20-minute taxi drive this morning, turned into an hour's worth of driving back and forth and back and forth. And I did layer in a grocery shop in there and then stopped to eat something before I took the walk. That was probably my mistake. Well, she did say, "Oh, well, you can finish your walk." And it's like, I don't. And of course, she calls back to tell me somebody else is going to give her a ride, so I don't need to hurry. Which, of course, interrupts the recording, but she doesn't know that and has no way to know that. So, yeah. So, I won't have to go get her. Somebody's going to bring her home. So, I will get through to the full loop this morning. And when I get home, I'll have to splice all these pieces together. My nose is running. It is relatively warm. I mean, 42 degrees. And the sun is really quite hot. Quite delightfully warm. In the shadows, it's a bit chillier. But my nose has decided it will run. I still have to go home and do chores. But at least I have one less taxi trip to do today. Oh, except I'll have to go to the art supply store today or tomorrow. Maybe we'll do that today while everything is in a mess. one more messy day. If I can get a little bit of editing done today, get a decent amount done tomorrow, finish it up on Monday, refile the files with CreateSpace and all of the ebook versions so that they all match. Oh, that would be good. And then Tuesday, sometime middle of the day, Tuesday, I'm supposed to get the galleys for full share. And then I can start this process again. I haven't done very well at stealing time away from this in order to do writing. In part because I've just not had the energy to deal with it. But on the upside, I'm getting this onerous task done in relatively short order. It's not really short order, but if I were to spend 14 hours a day working on these edits, I would give up writing altogether, but the edits would be done and I would never write another book. So yeah, there has to be some sort of recuperation period in there. In large part, this is because they're old books, and I really don't like the way the stories are written. I don't know how I would fix them, but I wouldn't write those stories now. I'd write something different. In fact, I might write something. In fact, I am going to write something different, and I hope it'll be as exciting and as much fun as the first books have been. But going over them, and I, it sounds like I'm whining, but you have to remember, I went through these books 4 or 5 times when I produced them in audio, and then Half Share got 8 or 10 full edit passes with Ryden before they published it. And so I've been through this book. I've gone through it 3 times since I republished it in the E, or since I got it back so that I could e-publish it, re-release it. I'm now going through it again in paper. It's like, Jesus. Now, it's really interesting is that there are things in the galley, there are things in the paperback version that are not the same as they are in the file that I created the ebook version from. They're not the same as they are in Sigil, which is curious because I've created the paperback book from that source file, or at least I thought I did. There's some minor things that are different. There's some capitalization things that apparently got corrected in one version, but not corrected in another. I found a couple spelling things that were fixed. I found a couple sentences that were straightened out. I found a couple of dialogue tags that had been removed. So, I don't know what's going on with that. I thought they were identical, but apparently they're not. Monk pole. I didn't think there was going to be one today. So, yeah, it's interesting. So, yeah, my political diatribe yesterday about poverty was Tara Lee pointed out that there's, you know, this minimum income is seductively simple. It's not simple at all, and there is no way in the world that an administration that has a hard time believing that we should make sure that everybody in the country has enough to eat would be just given some amount of money. So, yeah, that's not... It's not politically viable. It's technologically feasible. It's actually financially doable. I think at $3 trillion, $15,000 a year. At $3 trillion, which is, by the way, not even poverty level of just $22,000. But $3 trillion is, I think, less than we pay now for support for the safety net. The much tattered and battered and abused safety net. I think $3 trillion is actually less. Of course, the problem is that the program then gets sort of run by the IRS or some other government agency, and that's always a good idea. I don't know. It's an interesting challenge. It's all of these ills that we have: education, economics, to a certain extent, energy, are rooted in poverty. If we could solve the poverty problem, a lot of the effects of some of these other things, education primarily, would be cleared up. But perhaps the answer is not some sort of mass, let's kumbaya the world. Perhaps the answer is something more akin to, what's the philanthropic organization that gives away cows? I can't think of it now. Kiva, is that it? Anyway, maybe there's something there. When I think about all the authors who are making a couple hundred bucks a month on writing, it's like, if we could get people who are otherwise not enfranchised to participate in the arts, and they wouldn't have to make very much to make a big significant difference in their income. And I'm sure that there's lots of stories that they could tell if we could just figure out a way for them to tell them. And of course, one of the problems is that a lot, not all of them, but some significant portion of the people lack the necessary language skills to do it. It's not like they lack access to the technology to do it, because that's one of the misconceptions. They have to be a little more careful how they do it. They have to write at the library. They have to have a $30 jump drive, which is a lot of money for somebody who winds up in the red every month. I don't know. It could be that I'm just of that age. Every age has its elders who think that the world has gone to hell in a handbasket because it's no longer the way they remember. Well, quite frankly, I hope it never goes back to the way I remember, because what I remember is pretty horrific. What I remember is not pretty. The Ossie and Harriet lifestyle is not one that, shall we say, has a lot in common with my experience. For better or ill. But it does actually feed into this smuggler's tales. Because the conceit here that, and I think I probably spilled these beans before, so I don't think this is really a spoiler, is that the Golden Age is just a layer. What Ishmael Wong has gone through so far is just one layer of the society, and we've seen hints of what the other side of that society are through Odin's Outpost. We haven't been to Odin's Outpost yet, except through that one story, Light in the Dark. But I've been working on the logistics of how this lower class must work. And unlike other lower class, if you look at the typical steampunk kind of examination of the classes, a lot of what happens in the upper class is because of the labor that's exerted on their behalf by the lower class who is exploited. And the conceit here is not that they are exploited. The conceit is that they're ignored. And so there's a portion of the society that is cast off, and they're left to fend for themselves, much as Ishmael Wong would have been had he been deported back in the beginning. And so, in a lot of ways, the smuggler's tales are going to be Ishmael Wong's story told from what if he took the other path? What if he wasn't... what if he didn't get this job? What if he was cast off? What if he did fall through the cracks? Where would he end up? What would he do? Where are the people who don't have access to the longevity treatments that people in the corporate worlds have, that people who are exposed to autodocs on a regular basis get as a matter of course, as part of their regular maintenance treatments, to the point where they're largely invisible, because Ishmael certainly isn't aware that he's been getting them, but of course he has been. Just as he's been getting his regular inoculations, etc. But what about the people who don't get those? What about the people who are not privileged? What about the rest of us? How does that work? Oh, and here's the younger daughter now. I'm coming up on this thing, so I'm going to... probably chop this off and go chat with the kid, see how she did. And I'll splice these together. But at the moment, I'll say tomorrow is another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.